All right. Glad to be here with you all this morning. It's a blessing to be here with you. Seems like almost everyone's here. It's been a while since we've had about everybody here. And it's just sickness and all things going on. Just a blessing to see each one of you. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy to us, Lord. We just ask your blessing, Father, upon our time together. We ask your blessing upon your word. We ask your blessing upon ourselves, Father, as we just prepare to live our lives, Father, and carry out what you've given us to do. Lord, we just ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, God. Give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. And help us to have the grace, Father, to hear and apply, Lord, what you have for us. Again, we just want to thank you. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. I am going to probably just be in the end of Matthew 28 here. I want to we'll take the text from there. I appreciated the boys' lesson. One of the boys gave the verses in Peter, one of the smaller epistles of Peter, where he talked about add to your faith virtue and to your virtue knowledge and then to brotherly love and then just the steps that it gave to add to our lives. And I appreciate that and have appreciated that thought and have been really blessed in the concept of that. We've talked a few weeks ago about perfection, and here is an example of how to reach the things. We take it one step at a time. One of the boys talked about worrying about problems or what we're going to do tomorrow, but it is accomplished by taking the step that's right in front of you. And that's in our class, our graduating class. Whenever I graduated high school, our motto was a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And that just was true then, and it's so true today. And whatever we're going through, whatever situation comes upon us, whatever's happening in this world, whatever problem we're facing, it will be conquered by the next step you take towards it. Not by 1,000-mile leap or 100-mile leap, but just the next simple step that you take towards it. So I want to be just thankful for that, and that's that goes well into what I want to talk about this morning. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Very common verse. When Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, this is after he had risen from the dead. The commission, we've talked about it. And it says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And just acknowledging that everything in heaven and on earth is in the authority or under the authority of Jesus. Just whatever happens, we can take great comfort in that. That, you know, we see corruption all around us. We see deception. We see bad things happening in the world. But Jesus has the authority over that. You know, we've talked about authority before, and it's doesn't mean that everything is just that there's someone ruling with an iron fist, but authority is given people the leverage or the power to have their free will. And whatever happens in this world, and as dark as it might appear, we can take great comfort in this verse that all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Then he says, go therefore. And we hear a lot in preaching about the go. You know, people go all over the world just preaching. They go all over the world telling people that they need to be saved. I remember, you know, there's a lot of talk about Ukraine right now and Russia. And I remember going to Ukraine on some mission work one time, and after it had been freed from Russia, and got there, and the people seemed like they would have just been all ready to hear some news, good news, or just they were freed where they could do what they wanted, and got there, and it was pretty discouraging to find what we found. We found that, you know, there was an underground church there, and there was people that were faithful all through the persecution. And then when freedom came, people started visiting them from other groups that they'd had contact with. And I heard of instances where, you know, there were people that were a part of a group, and whenever they got there, they found these people that were dressed plain, dressed modestly. And whenever they went to meet them at the airplane, the people that got off the plane were just all decked out in every kind of thing, long hair maybe, or just, you know, you can just get the image of the men had earrings and the women were all painted up and wearing just really skimpy clothes. And the people that were there just met them at the airport and said, just turn around and go back. Here they were able to talk, you know, this big talk all this time. But whenever they actually met them, they just said, you don't have anything to offer us. But the sad thing is most of them did. Take them right in and just adapted these things that have corrupted the world and corrupted the church. Because there's more to the word than go. There's discipline. Go make disciples. And that's another thing. Just while I was there, this people taking this word go, you know, just zealous to go. That the people were complaining whenever we were in Kyiv, the city there, because as soon as it began opening it up, there would be people go up to the tops of these big, huge buildings and just dump thousands and thousands of tracks just fluttering all over and trashing up the city. And they were going with zeal. But there was no wisdom in it. There was no discipline in it. And there was no good in it. It was a despised thing among the people there. So what I want to bring out is that we hear all of what he's saying. Make disciples. And, you know, a disciple is someone that, to try to make a disciple, you know, we can try all we want from our position with authority. But unless the person wants to be made a disciple, there is nothing we can do. And we've tried, and we still try to offer help to people, but it's just so difficult to find someone that's really wants to be helped, or that is really willing to be helped. And so we find ourselves with this gospel that's gone around the world, that's hardened people, that's turned them away from the Lord and his charge to be made disciples of. We've got this cheap and easy gospel that you just say a prayer and you're saved, or you just be baptized and you're saved, or you just do some kind of religious thing, or you just become a real strict religious person and you're saved, or whatever. Instead of having a person with their own free will choosing to submit that will to the Lord and choosing to be a disciple. And so the important thing here is not just teaching a few rules, but to actually get someone to become a disciple themselves. And that's, I wanted to start with this text. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And there's another bit of encouragement there. Here people talk about something going to happen and destroy the whole world. That we're all just going to die in a nuclear holocaust or some kind of thing. Lo, I am with you always until the end of the world. Jesus is here, and he's going to be here past all of this. And so, in all of this, let's keep our focus on that and those things that are, that Jesus is in authority, and he will be with us until the end of the age. What I want to talk about this morning is not necessarily making disciples. You know, we've got to be a disciple before we can make one. And it's, you know, it's easy to get caught in just living our lives, living within these things, all these things I've commanded you. We get a shell of religion, and we just, as long as we live within this shell, we're good. That's where, you know, a lot of the stricter groups that have disciplines, they call them, or standards. You know, standard, you live within this realm, and just as long as you live within that, everything is good. You're good with all your brothers, you're good with the church, you're good with God. As long as you live within this little confine, some are stricter, some are looser, but as long as you live within that realm, you're good. But that doesn't take any discipline to live within something that's been established for us. There is no discipline required at all. You know, I've heard people talk about the cross, and they give the idea, I've heard bishops say this. I was preaching about the cross one time, and an old bishop stood up and he said, you know, I think the cross is just the standard that we have to live in. And I just said, that is not what the cross is. I mean, it just is amazing how that's not the cross. I heard another man tell me that the teachings of Jesus were a cross to him. That is not the cross. Loving God and doing what he wants is not a cross. It's a blessing to do those things. It's a blessing to live within those things. The cross is what Satan throws on you because you're choosing to walk that path and do those things. Discipline. Whenever, you know, we think of that word, a lot of times we think of child training. And because you discipline, that's what training, you're teaching the children to walk in the way that they should go. And it is a discipline. We think of discipline sometimes as having to apply the rod sometimes because they not are walking in the path that they're supposed to be walking in. But I've said it a whole bunch of times, you've all heard it. Training children is really, really simple. It's easy to train children. The problem is training the adults. Because it is your responsibility to train the children. The children, if you let them go, you're training them to do whatever they want to do. So it is up to you as a parent, as a grandparent, to be involved in training the children the way they're supposed to go. It's easy training children. The hard part is getting the adults to have the discipline it takes to apply themselves to the duty that is at hand. the discipline that it takes to apply yourselves to the duty that's at hand. That's where it gets tough. We've got other things to do. We've got all kinds of things that we want to do and accomplish. We've got businesses to build. We've got homes to build. We've got houses to put together. We've got all kinds of things going on. And to be able to lay that aside sometimes, to take care of the most important thing that's at your hands and in your hands or is in your authority, to train your children. We're training them by the way we do. You know, we might kind of be able to guide them and put them into a place where they just feel comfortable living within this little realm of rules or whatever there is. But to actually train them to be disciplined themselves and to discipline themselves, to give themselves to the Lord, that takes a discipline of ourselves. We have to be willing. We have to be willing to give up a lot of things that we might want to pursue. We have to be willing to give up a lot of things that we might like. But we've got something more important. You know, one of the things that I try to tell people, you've got to be smarter than your child to ever train them the way you want to. You know, they learn quick, and they'll have you outsmarted. They'll have you right wrapped around their little finger in a pretty tall order, pretty quick order, if you don't know your children. I mean, if you look at something, you know, a lot of times we think of a prophet as someone that's just conjuring up some idea or has a vision of what's going to happen. But a prophet, all a prophet really does is to being able to read the things that are right in front of them. You know, if children are out there running around and playing in a dangerous situation, someone that sees that's dangerous can say, somebody's going to get hurt. And lo and behold, pretty soon, bam, somebody gets hurt. A prophet is just able to see what's going on right in front of your face. And if you can see your children developing habits or developing things, and you know that if a certain situation happens, you know how your child's going to react in it. So you need to be at least one step ahead of them, knowing that this is how they're going to react. So this is going to be how I react. And try to do that one step at a time, raising your children. You know, we look at child training and raising children as this big thing out in front of us, a 1,000-mile journey. But it starts with the one step that's right in front of you. It starts with just taking your child where he's at, knowing enough about their character and about their temperament, and know how to get ahead of that and work on it. You know, a lot of these things that children have, you're not going to be able to train out of them. But you're going to be able to train them to how they can live with them and manage them, the problems that they have. I mean, a lot of our problems, you know, a lot of our character and a lot of our temperaments, they're just not going to change overnight. And we want them all fixed right now, but that's not how you fix things. You fix things by being able to learn how to manage them properly. But that takes discipline. And that takes effort. So when we talk about discipline, it's not just grabbing a switch whenever they need it. Discipline is on your part. Discipline is the one doing the teaching and the training. And if you do that part, you'll be a long ways down the road. You know, as we look at generationalism, if you want to call that, we have the pattern over and over and over history. People set out to follow the Lord, and they face hardship and trouble opposition, fighting all around them to try to regain principles that have been lost. And then the next generation has it just handed to them. They learn to live within this little circle, you know, of acceptance with everything. And they prosper in it. And then by the third generation, it all breaks down and it just goes everywhere. It lose track and lose sight of it. Well, I want to try to encourage you, this second generation or so that's training children, or third generation if we get to that place, that's training children. Have the mindset of the first generation that determine within yourselves that this is what I want for my family. You know, whenever we were coming out of the world and it was strange to the world that I grew up in to do the things that we just think nothing of anymore. I mean, it was a fight on every account. I mean, whenever we wanted to first homeschool, my dad was the vice president of the school board in the local community, and everyone thought I was crazy. Why would you want to homeschool your own children? This is just purdy. Why would you need to homeschool them? And it was a battle. It was a battle in the home. It was a battle all around us. It was a war. And we took a lot of arrows. And now it's just something that, I mean, almost all of my family now have gone this direction. And think nothing of it and think this is just the way to go. It's just become natural. Have the mindset of this is right. It's not just something that we do. This is the way it needs to be done. Be convinced in your own mind that these things that Jesus has taught us and this way of life that God has given us is the right way, even though it's easy in front of us. Countless things, almost everything that we had to chisel out of what we had been brought up, you know, was a battle. Because we saw this as the way. And it was the only way, and it didn't matter what happened. We get lazy whenever we're just living in a little tube here. And take what you've been given. And see it as not just the way to maintain the tube, but the way to actually instill the values into your children so they can be disciples themselves. A lot of times, you know, you see families, and I think one of the biggest blessings that we have that we just completely despise and hate is living poor. You know, most people that have really, that are strong of character, had to go through some times where they just hardly had anything to live. We weren't just dirt poor. We had plenty of things to eat when we grew up, but it was a struggle. And I remember waking up in the morning and electric heat or a heater in the upstairs rooms was just way too expensive for us to afford. I remember waking up in the morning or going to bed, and I would pile every blanket I could find, all of my clothes, all of my coats, everything I could find on top of the bed, and then wake up in the morning and scratch a quarter inch of ice off the inside of the window. It was cold, and it was difficult at times. But those kind of things help us later in life. I look back at those things that I hated whenever I was young. But now I look back at them and I'm so thankful for them. of having the privilege to be able to go through those things. And that's the way it is whenever, you know, the boys talked about having to go through hard times, and it's all in God's hands. You know, whatever happens to us, it's for our good. You know, going through them isn't fun, but looking back on them, it is. Looking back on them, it is. It's a blessing. It's a reward. It's a, you know, we made it through. I just appreciate the things that I learned growing up. The hard things that we went through, you know. And that's what I want you to keep this in mind, raising your children. You know, money comes easy today. I mean, most of us can just work as much and make as much as we want. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with all of that. But if you take all that success and bring it right home with you and shower it on your children, you are ruining them. You know, we've got a boy at work that can't manage money. I mean, he's broke all the time. He makes more money now than he ever has. And he is just constantly broke. And he's asked for help. And I told him, I said, you need to take every paycheck and put so much amount in savings, so much amount in your checking, figure out what it takes to pay all your bills every month, put that much in there, and give yourself $100 a week to live in, live within. A discipline. You know, and I've talked about that before. My brother even told him, one time when he was making bukus of money, and I told him, you know, we tell poor people to live within a discipline. We tell people to help people to survive on what they make, to live within a budget. You set a budget for your home. It doesn't matter how much money you make. Set a budget for your home and live within it. And you know, we can do the same things. We think budgets are for poor people. But they're not. If we make more, don't just add more, build bigger, do better. It's not good for your children. Teach them that we've got to live within our means sometimes. It's just a way. Just maybe a little bit of a way that we can not just teach our children that they can go out and have whatever they want. It takes discipline. You see where the discipline comes in? Even whenever we become successful, we can't let up on it. Even though we can do something, and this is what real discipline is. You know, if we have to live because we only make $5 a week and we have to learn to live with that, it doesn't take any discipline to do that. But when we're making $1,000 a week and we want to instill something in our children, it takes discipline to be on the other side of that. And that's where we miss discipline. You know, when we're going through a battle and we're fighting to establish something, it doesn't take any discipline to do that. It takes discipline whenever we can do whatever we want. And we have to discipline ourselves. We have to choose we're not going to. That's when discipline gets tough, and that's where it breaks down, passing the faith on. That's where it passes down, making disciples. Because we're not making disciples, we're just teaching people to live within this little circle here. Instead of actually making disciples, because we're not disciplining ourselves so much of the time. So that's what I want to encourage you. Don't lose sight of disciplining. Just because you can do something doesn't mean it's the best thing to be done. You know, it may appear it, but a lot of times it's those hard things that actually wind up doing the best. Like I said, I appreciate so many things. I've shared it, haven't shared it in a long time, but one thing I appreciated is when it was time to go to church, we went to church. I mean, I know there's a time when you may be too sick to, you know, you may be just, you don't want to just go plumb crazy here, but if I would tell Dad, I don't feel very good. I don't think I'll go to church this morning. He would say, take an aspirin and get yourself out of bed, get dressed, we're going to church. And I appreciate that. I hated it at the time. Those kind of things left an impact on me. It's so easy for us just to, I mean, there's a little song, it's called Excuses. Excuses, excuses. And it talks about this family that they all stayed home just to wipe that poor kid's nose. And they were making excuses. And it isn't all about going to church. But it meant something to be at church. It was a lifestyle habit that instilled something in us that my commitments are a big deal. I'm telling my children that, you know, I remember whenever we were first beginning, just looking for, I mean, we would love to be together every time that we could to come to church. And you know, just living within this little circle here, yeah, if I go to church, all right. There's not a longing to go be with the brethren if we just get trapped in this little tube. I'm not saying, I'm just telling you, I'm just sharing these things with you. Nobody in mind, but I'm sharing these things with you to keep them in mind as we train our children. Because we're training them, whether we like it or not. We're training them to be nonchalant about our commitments. We're training them just to, a lot of things don't matter. Told before also about, I mean, whenever we went to church, if you sat down in that pew, you didn't get up again. It only took me a couple of times of near wetting my pants to realize that I better go before I get set down. Instead of just jumping up every little moment because things got a little uncomfortable. And after I got a little, you know, big enough to know better, I didn't get up anymore. And I had to just sit there and hope I didn't embarrass us all a time or two till the amen was said where I could run to the bathroom. I mean, if you're in a car, sometimes you just got to hold it too. I mean, we can train our children that there's things more important than just making sure I can go dawdle away some time in the bathroom. And that's the way Dad looked at it most of the time. Said, I appreciate it. It was just, you know, it doesn't have to be this pattern, but you get the idea of discipline, things that we can learn. Just because we can is not a reason to do something. You know, maybe your husband will let you do things. Doesn't just keep you really very strict. Just because you can doesn't mean it's the best thing for your family. You do what's right for your family. That's where it takes discipline. If there's not someone, if you're not forced by necessity to do it a certain way, and you can do it an easier way or you can do it some other way, that's where discipline comes in. That's where being made a disciple. The rubber hits the road. That's where you choose to be a disciple. You know, whenever I was raising my family, we got rid of the television set. And it was a war. It was a war. I didn't want my children being raised by some idiot in Hollywood. I didn't want them being raised because some comedian or some joker in Hollywood or somebody in Washington, D.C. or whoever, wherever it all comes from, wanted to teach them something. I didn't want that for my home. And we got rid of it. And like I said, it was a war. One of the times that I had a biggest conflict with my family is I came home and or found out that there had been a television given to my wife. So that while I was gone all day, they were sitting home watching TV. And I found it. And my parents had given it to them. And I picked it up and I took it right over into the front living room and dropped it on the floor. And I said, this time it came back in whole pieces. Next time it's coming back in little bitty pieces. I don't want the stinking thing in my home. We have a very easy access to all this stuff. Yeah, it's all right. A lot of things, we can watch them. It's all right. But if you don't apply some discipline and you just hand it in front of your children or you wind up having to watch stuff with your children all the time, just because you can, don't mean it's a good thing. Whenever you're raising your children, you need to raise them without all of that stuff. And you know why. I don't have to tell you why. Just because you as an adult can watch stuff and see stuff, not condemning it at all, but just because you can, don't mean it's going to be good for your children. What one generation tolerates, the next generation grasps wholeheartedly. Anyway, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. But it's got to start right here in Monette, and it's got to start right there in your home. God add his blessings.